That's my chain.
Talk shit at this part. About how like the world didn't see it coming.
That's my chain.
Now you know this fresh, right? You didn't know. I'm so wild. They call me Four Loko. So loco. Where they do it.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Two Square Girls podcast. D, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, you were missed. The square hive missed you.
Yeah, I missed doing this too. Yeah, it helps me get out of my own little complainy head. I can complain to other people now.
Yes, complaining is the way to go when it comes to certain things, just because sometimes people don't listen when you try to be like nice and you're like, listen, this is what's going on. And they're like, cool, you seem fine. Peace out.
Yeah.
All right, Dee, speak on it. Let's hear our first Six Sad World. How is the world Six Sad Worlding today?
Well, if anybody ever is thinking about going inpatient into any kind of hospital treatment, think twice. Because you'll find that lots of the doctors and stuff are just as judgmental as people on the outside, maybe even more. And, even about your appearance. Like, I had to discharge against medical advice from an eating disorder hospital that I was just at because of some rather harsh rules that they began to put in place. I think it's because probably people in the regular psych ward were getting violent with certain things, so then they did a company punishment for every ward. Like, you can't have books over a certain length, you can't wear any makeup whatsoever, the staff says while they carry around their giant books and get to wear like heavy eyeshadow and a whole bunch of makeup. And I formed a conspiracy theory in my head that they didn't want anybody to wear makeup just so they could feel better about themselves, so everybody else would feel ugly or something.
Oh man, you know what? Ugly lives matter. It's important to... I felt that way on Friday during my grad reading. I was like, my face looks shitty because I've been crying and my hair is janky and I still haven't got my teeth fixed and I felt real ugly. It wasn't fun for me because I usually... That's like... I'm like, once I get my buccal fat removed, it's all over for you hoes. You know, that's like a trend. That's like a trend going around right now. Everyone's getting their buccal fat removed, and I don't even know what that is. I'm like, what the fuck is buccal fat? Buccal, B-U-C-C-A-L. I don't know what that is.
Okay, I don't know where that is. It's weird.
Okay. Well, it's a thing, apparently. some context, but yeah, I'm like, I don't know. Okay, so it's the fat between your cheekbones and...
Oh. Okay, yeah, I know that some older women get, like, saggy there, so that they get lifts and stuff there.
Yeah,
so
it says you cannot get rid of the buccal fat pad naturally. This fat does not interfere with age. It also does not atrophy with weight loss. It's a deep fat pocket that leads to lower thickness of the cheek. So obviously I have that, right? Because I'm 32, I'm not 22. And even when I was 22, I had that. It's not a big deal. You know, and honestly, like, my double chin edge, my, like, lines on my neck, like, I can't look in the mirror. I have, like, a very hard time looking in a mirror for more than, like, maybe 10, 15 seconds. Because it's rough. It's rough to get that, like, feedback from other people, from yourself, from society. I don't want to remove my buccal fat because that sounds like it might fuck up my face as I age. I'm not going to look like my grand-grand then when I'm her age and she's like 93, 94. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, if I have to live that long, I want to keep as much of my natural stuff like as I possibly can. The only times I've ever had that, like, I've never had cosmetic surgery. I've only ever had like surgeries from injuries.
Yeah.
So
I know, it's like, I think I would rather be wrinkly than have a face, I don't know, a facelift or anything. It seems like sometimes it ends up making things worse, or just looks bad. I'm getting wrinkles now, finally. And
you're like, finally?
Because people kept on thinking I was younger than I am for a while, but now nobody ever thinks that, so it's like, obviously, you know, the wrinkles are paying off.
Yeah, I usually don't get carded, and then it's funny because I'll have friends with me who, like, you know, like, okay, they were almost 21, right? Okay, I wasn't doing anything illegal, but, like, you know, then they were definitely all still, like, they were still drinking, like, but they would never get carded when we would go places, and I'm like, because you're with me, and I'm an old, like, oh. We are old, like, so of course you're not going to get carded, like, why would you get carded, like, if you're with, like, a auntie-looking woman?
So. I know, that's in the old days, like, apparently, if a minor was, like, if an older person was buying them a drink at a bar, like, nobody cared, you know, because it's like, oh, the older person knows what they're doing or whatever, and it's like, well, it's not
no,
but, yeah.
older people are the worst. People in my age bracket and, like, even, honestly, I don't want to shit on Gen Z because I don't want to be, like, the same the generations before me.
Oh.
But they hate millennials, and I'm like, why? We're the only ones who have been actually advocating for you this entire time. Like, we're rooting for you. Like,
that's true. I know, it's perplexing to me why they don't like our, what is it about our generation they don't like? I'd like to know.
It's propaganda that happened. Mm-hmm. So everybody else told them, and they're sheeple.
Yep.
Because they are sheeple. And also all this generation stuff is just nonsense. I mean, I've been an aunt since I was 10, right? And my nephew, who is gonna be 23 this year, he goes to my alma mater, Davis. Dude, that's okay. That's what we'll do for Six Sad World number one. Freaking, there were three murders. Actually, there were three stabbings. Two of them, the people died. I'll have to look up to see what happened to the third person. But there were three stabbings in Davis when they haven't had a homicide since 2019.
That happened within, really?
Yeah. In Davis. Within 1 week. And one of them, I knew the guy. He was the compassion man. He was like a town.
I saw your post about that. That's so
scary. Yeah. He got murked. And I was like, what happened? Because was that targeted? Like, that's crazy. You know, how is it possible that this guy got straight up murdered? Like, that's not okay, you know?
No.
So yeah, that was really rough, because, like, that was somebody who was, like, trying to spread kindness and compassion and, you know, like, kind of, like, gave you hope that there's goodness in the world.
Yeah.
And, you know?
It seems like really sociopathic people, like, whenever there's a good person, it's like they actively want to kill them. It's like, actually, they're so demonic that it sets them off to see somebody that's actually good.
Yeah, that was some shit. Like, I was really, and I was just in Davis the week before, like, the week of, like, April 18th-ish, I was just in Davis, California, and I even, like, went to a poetry reading there, and, like,
oh, yeah, I have a reader, right?
And he keeps pleading not guilty, the guy, apparently. God. I mean, I don't know what's going on with all this. I'm gonna have to, because, you know, I just had to block it out, because I was like, dude, I can't even process this right now. This is ridiculous. Like,
I know, it's just so, it's,
I mean,
just
not like,
it's like pure, it just seems pure evil to do
dude,
that.
Yeah, it was really scary. And let me see. So the 64-year-old woman who was stabbed, she survived. So there were three people who got stabbed. It was one guy was the compassion man. The second guy was like a UC Davis student, and he was a Muslim dude too. And he got murdered. He was gonna be in I saw like the faces of all my brothers and my nephews when I like saw that guy. I was like, oh my gosh,
that's horrible.
Yeah, I was like super sad. You know, it was just really sad. And then the third one was a woman who was, you know, like, she never like did like the, you know, like, she was a homeless woman, and like, it was just, yeah, it, yeah. Okay. So here's something from Capital Public Radio. Davis stabbings. Bill, California bill wants to end involuntary prison labor. I don't know what that has to do. Oh, okay. I think this is like I'd have to listen to this thing. The latest on deadly stabbings in Davis, a deep dive into legislation overhauling prison labor that may be decided by California. Oh, okay. This is, they all put this in the same thing, but I want to know, like, actually what's going on. Like, yeah. It doesn't seem like they're releasing any information.
So it all happened at the same location, right? It was, like, the same person that did all the stabbings?
Yeah, allegedly. I mean, let me see. So, yeah, so I guess you'll find a community trend in response. The city, which grew up around a thriving and inviting use basis, also wrestled with the arrest of a student who, until April 25th, blended in like anyone else on the... So the guy was... Residents say that they were relieved by the Thursday arrest of 21-year-old... I'm not going to say his name, who has been formally charged with killing two men and seriously injuring a woman during a series of stabbings from April 27th to May 1st, but they are also mourning those who died, feeling compassion, and grappling with all the attention their city has received. But why did he do it? Like, what happened?
I know.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna... Okay, so... Let's see. So people are kind of coming out again, balancing grief with compassion. Let's see. Miss Shanley, in a way, I did feel that person for a little bit. So yeah, it doesn't say anything about the victim. Or sorry, not the victim, the guy. Maybe I can like click on it and see what happens.
Yeah, I'd like to know what his motive was.
I honestly try not to like look at like local or like whatever news, but my nephew goes here, man. Like, I have to pay attention.
Yeah.
Like, that's my family. Like, so he was a former UC Davis student. That's wild. Davis police announced the arrest Thursday of a 21-year-old former UC Davis student as the suspect in three stabbings that left two men dead and a woman critically injured. Davis police said that the student, who was a student at UC Davis until last week and previously lived in Oakland, was arrested Thursday afternoon on two homicide counts and one attempted homicide charge. He is now at the Yolo County Jail, and the district attorney will be reviewing reports in the coming days to determine charging decisions. And he says that the person who said that added, in his mind, the stabber meets the definition of a serial killer. Wow. Based on the information that we have, the definition of a serial killer would apply. He added that detectives are still investigating a motive for the attacks and that Dominguez was aware authorities were searching for him. How police arrested suspect. So he was aware, the guy was aware that authorities were searching for him. So that's really scary. Like, he was like a student at this thing. He used to like, you know, the suspect was detained Wednesday at about 5 p.m. a block from Sycamore Park. Dude, I used to... Okay, so here's the thing, D. I interned at Willett Elementary, which is right there at Sycamore Park. So I know that exact area. Yeah, dude, well, I'm super glad scary. That you weren't
there anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, this was...
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah, obviously this was like a dozen years ago, and, you know, whatever. But, like, you know, it's literally been like a dozen years. Like, but... Again, like, my nephew goes there, you know? So he says, the site of the second homicide last Saturday, after 15 separate callers phoned police to report seeing a man who matched the description of the suspect, long, dark, curly hair, and wearing black Adidas pants with white stripe. So the source says that one caller followed... Oh, shoot, I said his name. Okay, I'm not going to say his name. Followed the serial killer from Sycamore Park until police arrived and stopped him about a block from the park. Dominguez went with police voluntarily, and police later found a large knife in his backpack. Patel said, this is just the source. The source said police do not know whether the serial killer may have been planning another attack when he was detained. Wow.
He probably was planning more.
Yeah, he's stabbed three people with, like, no real motive and no real, like... What I can say is he was out wandering the neighborhood where the second homicide had occurred. He had a large knife in a backpack, wearing the same clothes from the third stabbing. That's highly unusual and unique. I think everybody will have to draw their own conclusions on that. What? So he was wearing the same...
You try to draw a conclusion, please.
Well, the wild thing is that... Okay, yeah, well, I mean, that is unusual. Why would you be wearing the same clothes from the stabbing if you know that you probably would have been seen fleeing the scene, you know?
I know. Does he want to get caught? Some people actually do. Want to, so consciously at least.
subconsciously kind of thing. Yeah. So the stabbings and their victims. The arrest comes after a series of knife attacks that began April 27th in Davis. So this is like very recent. With the stabbing death of 50-year-old David Henry Bro, who like I knew. That's how I know how to pronounce his name. We had a whole conversation and even made a joke about how his last name was Bro. And I was like, dude, you are the compassion bro. I think that's what I'm gonna name this episode. I'll name that's it like, you know, compassion bro. Or like, you know, cause that person was really, really good at doing what he was doing. He did like a lot, like he was there for like 10 years. He cropped up maybe like the year before I started at Davis, maybe like a year after, I don't know when, but he was like definitely there all the time across from the farmer's market, asking people who walked by if they could write their definition of compassion in a notebook. And then he published it. And then they like sold the notebook or like not sold the notebook. They, like sold the book that he published, you know, at Crateville, which is like right across the street from where he would stand.
I used to go there.
Yeah. And he went the same, you know, David Henry Bro went to like AT&T, who owns that street. There's like the phone company like owns the street for some reason, or like the sidewalk, like that property. And he's like, hey, can you put up a bench here about compassion? And they're like, yeah, sure, why not? And then they did. And yeah, he's like a legend. He's literally like so, man, I was like, no way, this guy's gone. That's, the world can't be this way right now. This is wild.
That's extremely heartbreaking. It's like, it's unbelievably senseless too.
Yeah. So he was found dead in the city's Central Park, which is where they have the farmer's market. And then two nights later on April 29th, UC Davis senior Kareem Abu Najm, 20, was stabbed to death at Sycamore Park. And yeah, he was gonna change the world. He was gonna be an engineer for like a company that would like help, like he was doing a whole, like he was a whole vibe, like he had his own like thing that he was gonna do after graduation. He was really excited to do it, and I was just like, wow, this guy died, like he's never gonna be able to do the things that he set out to do, and that's gonna make the world a less awesome place, and that fucking sucks.
I know, it's like I always want to see like alternate universes of what would have happened if this person hadn't died. It's like, what if some horrible problem had been solved, you know, if they had survived?
Yeah, dude, it was just so, yeah, makes me. And then they planned a public memorial for 4 p.m. Friday at the UC Davis International Center, which I used to intern at, by the way. I used to intern at the International House too. Wow. I did a lot of stuff in Davis. I volunteered at the Women's Center. I like interned at the International House. I like volunteered at Willett Elementary. Like I did a bunch of stuff there. Which is how I like know all these areas and places and things, you know. And then the third attack came May 1st, just before midnight, when an assailant stabbed a homeless woman identified by police as Kimberly Giori multiple times throughout the side of a tent in a camp at 2nd and L Streets. Wow, that's really scary.
It is.
The attacker was seen by witnesses at the camp and spotted running away toward downtown, but a massive search of the area and a shelter in place order for residents turned up no suspects. The woman survived the attack that week of attacks, terrified residents of the normally peaceful community. Yeah, it is. That's a really nice, like, Davis was really friendly, and I had a good experience there. So.
Davis, like from Sacramento, like at least once a month. My mom used to take my sister and I there just for fun because it was just a nice place to visit.
Yeah, and all the night classes were being held remotely, and now they say that UCD said night classes will likely resume Monday. So, like today is maybe last Monday, because I think this is an older article. So, suspect was a former student. UC Davis confirmed that the serial killer was a student until April 25th, when he was separated for academic reasons.
Oh,
what?
Maybe
what is
he,
that?
Did he think he was getting revenge on the camp, on the school by doing that? But it's like those people had nothing to do with that.
No, he was getting revenge on the town, it looks like.
Oh.
The first stabbing happened 2 days later. What does separated for academic reasons mean? Does that mean that he was separated because he was failing?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know what else that could mean.
Yeah, what could that mean, possibly? The university said the serial killer was majoring in biological sciences, and when he was in his third year at the school, a listing for the serial killer in the UC Davis directory shows a sophomore studying majoring in biological sciences. We are partnering with law enforcement to provide access to any and all information as part of the investigation, the university said in the statement. We are providing support to any students who may have interacted with him. As we learn more and are able to provide updates that do not interfere with the ongoing investigation, we will do so. As a result of the stabbing, some downtown businesses and restaurants began closing early, and a farmer's market scheduled for Wednesday night in Central Park was canceled. Yeah, of course. Davis police that they were hoping to use DNA evidence to pinpoint a suspect and were using the resources of the FBI, the State Justice Department, and the Sacramento County District Attorney Crime Lab to analyze evidence from the scenes. In an update Wednesday afternoon, police said biological evidence has been collected from each of the crime scenes, and early returns are being analyzed to determine potential sources. No conclusions regarding source have been made at this time. Police added Thursday that evidence recovered includes blood evidence, fibers, and trace evidence. Wow. What authorities know about the suspect? The source says Thursday that some of the victims had fought back and that the serial killer does have some injuries on his arms and hands. Wow. Ooh. Yeah. They also said that the police were not aware of any previous criminal history. That's really scary. He just randomly started murking people.
Yeah.
He said during questioning that the suspect was, I guess he's still a suspect, was reserved. He spoke for a long time, but he would not divulge details of whether the suspect confessed or expressed remorse. Initially, police were hesitant to link all three attacks, saying more investigation was needed. But the source said Thursday that was no longer the case. At this point, we believe that all three are connected.
Oh, yeah. It sure looks like
It sure seems like it, you know, because they happened in such quick succession. And then also, you know, this guy had they want to make certain just in case there's somebody else out there and they want to be aware, you know?
Yeah.
So they said that detectives are still evaluating whether the guy knew Abu Najm, the second victim, from classes or interactions on campus where both were students. We have no information that he knew any of his victims. Really?
That's even scarier if he didn't. It's always scarier if somebody doesn't know the victims, because then it's like it just seems random things are always scarier, because then it's like,
Seem random, right? Because why would he have picked, it's almost like there was like some weird, something was like telling, you know, like, I don't want to get like weird and conspiratorial and whatever, but little bit, it seems like there was like some other force that was happening in that situation. Because
I know
these three people didn't seem like any problematic types, and that's what they had in common, that they were all like, you know, kind, compassionate, and normal people who were trying to do good in the world. I don't know about the homeless lady, but then again, she also didn't die, and also people were saying that she was just like a normal nice person. So they said that she was very kind and never bothered anybody, and she was like stabbed through a tent, dude, that she was like sleeping in.
Okay, well, it seems like this person was targeting harmless people.
Yeah, but how would he have known? Right, but how would he have known that, you know? Like,
maybe he was like spying on them.
Maybe he was
working and watching people, like, for,
I don't think so, because it says that he was living in a rented home on Hawthorne Lane with roommates, and so he had roommates, which is also very unusual for a serial killer. And police said FBI agents were searching the residence Thursday. The chief said investigators had spoken with the roommates but declined to address whether they realized that the serial killer matched the description of the suspect they were seeking. We're still going through the information they provided. The serial killer was expected to be arraigned in Yolo Superior Court on Friday, and officials said Thursday he was refusing all media requests for interviews. Neighbors of arrested ex-student react. Police still had a portion of Hawthorne Lane blocked off late Thursday as they continued their search while neighbors watched from afar. Lucas Hatton has lived on Innocent Road for about 6 years, just around the corner from Hawthorne Lane home, said he walks by the home all the time with his children, even borrowing books from the free community library kiosk next to Hawthorne home. Shout out to community library kiosks, the little free community libraries.
Oh, yeah, those things.
It is scary, Hatton said. It seemed like he had some severe psychological issues going on that he almost wasn't trying to hide. I started to wonder if he wanted to be caught because he was wearing the same pants that were described and he was just out for a stroll with a knife again. With his knife again.
Ooh.
What?
Oh.
That's wild. Yeah, that's wild. Haddon said he's sad for the victims and for the suspect and his family and what they'll have to go through in the aftermath of his arrest. I mean, this guy's still alive. Like, he's alive. He's like, I want to know, like, what the hell happened there? And I want to know why he got expelled from school, because it sounds like this was, like, a reaction to that, and schools shouldn't be doing shit like that to people, because this is what happens then, you know? He said it's concerning how someone could feel so isolated and desperate, especially in such a tight-knit community like Davis. So that's probably what he was feeling, I guess. The fear produced by these attacks left residents wondering how far this would go. Haddon said it was unsettling hearing news of businesses closing early before dark, UC Davis making changes to his evening classes, and his children being told they could skip soccer practice. He said he and his children earlier that his week were walking near their home and came across a man holding a baseball bat seemingly on patrol and warning them to stay inside because the serial killer is out. Oh my god!
That was really scary if you were a kid and someone just came up and said,
you can go home because I have this baseball bat to knock out any serial killers in the area.
Oh my god.
I think now we can move to a new chapter of healing and having conversations about how we get back to what we liked about Davis. Yeah. So I guess so this other guy, Lachlan Johnson, said he's also lived across the street or whatever. He said he didn't know or see the serial killer around campus, but he recognized his face after seeing photos of police detaining him on Wednesday. He said he might have even introduced himself to the serial killer a year ago when he first moved into the neighborhood. It's definitely scary, Johnson said, after learning the wanted suspect in these brutal stabbings was a fellow UC Davis student. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to think that someone could have the potential to become a serial killer after he was taking biology. I don't know what the connection is there. But
wait, so you can't become a serial killer if you take biology?
I guess he was like, I guess because like at Davis they have like a lot of classes about like, assumingly, I assume about the sanctity of life when it comes to biology. So maybe that's what he was trying to get at. Like, I don't know if they have classes like that, but Davis is very, like, it has a lot of these, like, intense, like, classes that also tie, like, philosophy. Like, it's not just, I don't know. They have, like, a different approach to things. They have, like, a almost, like, hey, like, ethical, communal, we're all friends kind of situation.
Yeah.
You know?
Very kind of the old school kind of hippie-ish thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are very hippie and dope. I liked Davis when I went there.
I know, yeah.
He said Davis residents can now breathe a sigh of relief knowing an arrest was made. Johnson said he doesn't know this guy's roommates and the serial killer's roommates, and he said he never saw anything suspicious going on there. He said the homes along the street are mainly occupied by college students who are mostly friendly with one another. He first noticed investigators at the home about 9 a.m. Thursday. Initially, I thought that maybe there was another body found at the home, Johnson said. I said a little prayer and said, please, please. Wow, this is wild.
It is. I'm surprised I hadn't heard about this in the news. These shootings in Texas or something, and I think that overshadowed it. Or, I don't know.
Like recently?
Yeah, I think over the weekend there was one in Georgia and then one in Texas or something. I don't know. It seems like.
Can you hear me?
I think there was. Oh, sorry, cut out for a second.
Yeah, I cut out first. Well, 2023. Okay. Cleveland. It's still cutting out. Hello?
Oh, shoot. I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you.
Okay. It's cutting out a little bit. Are you like, at your house?
Yeah.
Okay, say something else so I know that it's working.
Okay, let's see. It's raining outside right now.
Nice. Is it? Do you like the rain?
Okay, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, I love the rain. Kind of,
it's just to me. It always makes me feel cozy or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I was just gonna say cozy. I was gonna be like, oh, it makes me feel like getting a little blanket and a mug of tea and just sitting and having like a really nice. Time by the window. I like a nice bay window and reading a nice book. you know?
It's, yeah, it's just, I don't know. And especially when I'm depressed for some reason, like, overly sunny weather just seems kind of insulting to me. I know that sounds weird, but sometimes it just feels like a slap in the face or something.
Oh, I hope not. Yeah. Okay, so I am... Oh, no! It was a mall shooting in Texas. That's really scary.
That's right. It was at a mini mall or something. Yeah.
Oh, this girl, she was just... Oh, my God. This is so scary. This girl, Ashwarya Tatikonda. I can't pronounce her last name properly. But among the eight killed... Oh, my God. There were eight people killed in Allen. So this was Allen, Texas. Was Ashwarya, who was visiting a mall with a friend. That's so sad. She looks just like one of my nieces. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. That's so scary, dude. You don't expect to go to the mall and lose your life. Yeah, no shit. Yeah,
it's like it makes like me... My mom was always scared to go to like festivals or malls or anything, because she always feels like there's gonna be a shooting and someone's all think, that won't happen, but it's like, I don't know.
Dude, it does. I went to a garlic festival and we left early and then there was a shooting and I was like, what the hell is this? At a garlic festival? Is nothing sacred?
I remember that. That was so
god damn.
Like,
that's
the last place I ever expected to have anything like that happen.
Yeah, nobody expected that. Man, that's scary.
They have a strawberry festival here near where my mom lives. Cool. My mom didn't go to it last year because I was in the hospital and she was afraid of the crowds. But I think this year I think I'm gonna skip it. I don't want to be amongst crowds right now.
Is there a way to have a strawberry festival experience without going there? Can you get a VR situation and a drone?
I think that we can go maybe on the day that they are not having the festival and just kind of walk around the town ourselves and get some strawberry crepes somewhere or something. That would be more fun. Not having to be amongst all the other people, I guess, at the same time.
Yeah. And also because, like, one of the things that I noticed people is that, there's so much weirdness happening in people, not just in people's psyches, but like people are just kind of like robotic a little bit now. And
I've noticed that.
You know, they're like sheeple. They're robotic sheeple who just go along with what they are familiar with and what they are comfortable with and what's going to get them going. And I'm like, don't do that. Don't be a sheeple. That's gross.
Yeah. It's very true. That one thing I have noticed about Wisconsin in comparison to California is that the customer service here is even worse than it is in California, if that's possible. It's like they don't even try to pretend to say hi to you or be happy to see you or anything at stores. It's so weird. It's just, it's freaking bizarre. I'm not sure why. Like, I thought that customer service people were at least supposed to pretend to be friendly.
I think that people are a lot more cruel than I give them credit for sometimes.
I know.
I'm like, wow, you guys really don't give a shit. And they'll smile at you and then like all of a sudden be like super cruel. So I don't know how to deal with life anymore.
It's like I can't tell when it's weird because like when I'm here, I can't tell when somebody is, sometimes I can't tell somebody's being hostile or not, or if they're just being apathetic. Maybe the autism is partly to blame for that for me, but I think it's actually just that people are robotic and I can't read them anymore. I don't know.
I can't.
Yeah.
Man, I can't. I can't. It's so scary because like the shooting situation is really fucked up because I think that people perceive threats when they're not there, and then they don't actually care when there is a threat. And they're like, it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, the street I live on, most people don't keep their doors locked. And I always just think you're being stupid because all it takes is one weirdo, like this guy in Davis or something, and then like he'll come, you know, he might come into your house or whatever, and I mean, I hate to be that person that doesn't trust anybody, but it's like, I don't know. It's like, there's too many weirdos out right now for me to even think about leaving the doors unlocked. Just because. Oh, actually, my next door neighbor, he got arrested the other night for beating his wife brutally.
What?
And apparently, this isn't the first time it's happened. But then, of course, he's let out already, and apparently, my fiance said that he's back at the house. I mean, I'm not at my house right now, so he's kind of telling me from keeping me updated. But I guess it looks like the lady is taking this guy back again, even though 2 years ago, apparently, he did the same thing, according to the other neighbors. So that made me sad to think that she has so low self-esteem that she's, like, taking back this guy who actually got arrested because of how bad he beat her. I mean, that's just horrible.
That's happening a lot, actually. There's a lot of violence against women happening, and I'm seeing it everywhere, and if they can't kill you, they'll kill your character. It's so brutal, and that's what I'm upset about. And, you know, when you, like, go and try to advocate for yourself and ask for help, it's like, oh, JK, JK, you don't get to have any help, you know? Like,
yep.
Go sit in your corner and make sandwiches and babies.
Yeah, that's basically like, it. That's what it feels like.
What the fuck is this? I don't appreciate that nonsense, you know?
I know. It's like it. And it's funny because, like, it just seems like nobody, like, the men don't get it if I try to explain to them how messed up it is. I don't know. It's just, it's depressing.
Well,
like, they don't want to try to empathize or something.
The men have also been benefiting from this. And then also, they're all secretly Trumpers, let's be real. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they all went through these 4 years of this mother, like, this freaking asshole who went around saying that he grabs women by the pussy, and nobody even gave a shit. No one cared. And it's not like Biden's administration is any better. They're not doing anything.
I know.
They're just,
it's true. I've been quite disappointed, I have to say. Yeah.
And, like, they made this, like, Pyrrhic victory about, I'm like, okay, well, I know that everybody in, like, America was trying to get a woman to be president, but how do you feel about there being a vice president woman who was technically president for 10 seconds when the old white man was getting a colonoscopy, and it was a Blasian woman? How you feel? Like, like, it sucks, dude. They did Hillary dirty. They did Hillary so dirty. and I feel so bad because I'm like, people hate women, dude. Like, it's such an awkward situation for everyone, because without women, you're not going to have any more men. So what the fuck are you doing?
I know. It's like, yeah. Do you want to be able to have any test tube babies at that point because there aren't any eggs, you know? So, yeah.
I don't know. It's, yeah. Like, what the fuck? I honestly, like, I'm so uncomfortable with, like, how people have been conducting themselves, especially women, because women, what are they supposed to do? You either go with the status quo and you're good to go, or you fucking don't, like, do that, and all of a sudden, like, you're the victim.
I know?
Like, you're the person that everybody wants to shit on and scapegoat.
Yeah.
Some bullshit, dude.
I know, it's like, and I'm sick of everything being blamed, like, on, you know, in my life anyway, lots of stuff is just blamed on PMS. You know, that's been a trope forever, you know, for women. But it's like, not everything that I'm going through is PMS related. I mean, some of it is.
Well,
but not
also, I feel like I'm PMSing all the time now because life is so, like, rough. I'm like,
I know,
you want to talk about? Yeah, I'm always premenstrual. Fuck you.
It's true. I really do feel like I'm constantly in that. In the dysphoric
state. You know, like, you're always, like, nowadays, I'm always PMSing because we are always premenstrual. If you think about it, PMS is kind of one of those things where people are like, oh, you're PMSing because you're about to start your period. I'm like, don't you get it? We are always, premenstrual because
I know
everybody menstruates.
Like, it's really, I can't really tell the difference anymore, to tell you the truth. I used to be able to kind of tell the difference, but now I can't. So, yeah, it's true.
I don't know. I think that people like to peg women, especially older women, as problematic. When they're like, oh, you're just not getting laid, or you're just not having, you don't have a boyfriend, or you don't have a whatever. And I'm like, oh, I do just fine, thank you. And I chose not to, you know, like, I get proposed to all the time, and it's uncomfortable for me. I have to tell my parents to stop telling me when this is occurring. So I don't think I'm the problem, okay, dick? Literal dick. Don't worry about it. I don't think it's me. Like, it's so uncomfortable.
Have you considered any proposal or not, or have they just all been too creepy?
So this is the thing. I never went through that system because anytime, I think the first time I graduated, my parents started sending me bio data. And that's what they called, like, you know how, like, on the files you have to put all your info, and it's all very uncomfortable. So they would send me these men's bio data, and I'm like, but inherently, anybody who agrees to this system, I'm not going to get along with. Like, it just doesn't make sense, because this is a system that doesn't benefit me, so why would I enter into it, you know?
Yeah, it makes sense.
I had a fling in my undergrad years, and he got so offended when I told him that marriage was the highest form of prostitution. He was like, that's so fucked up. And I'm like, am I wrong?
Like, you're actually not, if you think about it.
Yeah. Like, marriage is there to benefit the man, and like, the woman is doing all sorts of work.
Like, I know. I had a really long conversation with my fiance earlier this week, saying that I was like having second thoughts about getting married and stuff, and he like, you know, was actually sobbing over it and everything, and it's like, I'm sorry, I just don't know what else to say, because it's like, he agreed to go to couples therapy with me and stuff. But,
okay, well, I mean, he should have been doing like the wedding plan. Like, what happened?
There was a junk call coming through, so I hope that didn't cause any noise, but yeah, I had to reject a call.
Yeah.
But
I honestly, like, I don't know. I think that women should be worshipped. That's that. Like,
That's how I feel too. It's like, it makes me feel bad, like, if I said it to him, but it's like, at the same time, it's like, I just feel like I'm, you know, because I'm going to go back to my house tomorrow. I'm going to go home from my mom's house. And I know that it's going to be a mess left for me to clean up. And it's like, I'm not looking forward to it. Especially since I'm still in really bad pain from this freaking UTI.
Dude, yeah, no, I mean, take that and be like, listen, I got to get a couple days to like clear some health stuff, and then we'll talk, you know, because you're allowed to take that time. Like,
yeah.
You know, give yourself that grace, because the world isn't giving women any grace right now. Giving women any sort of way to help or be allowed to be, like, helped. And even when you get help, it's so conditional. It's so conditional.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
And it's like, they think you'll be all fixed up. It's like, oh, and there's no chance of any of this problem ever happening again. You know, you're going to be all fixed up like a doll. And it's like, actually, no, the problem can recur and stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, my parents are always focused on my physical appearance, because that's what they value on women, right? And they're like, if your physical appearance is good, the world's going to treat you better, and then you'll feel better. And I'm like, okay, but again, like I said, ugly lives matter. just don't look good right now. Like, I clean up nice. I know that because I had to do that for a long time when I was living with my mom's, and because she was very demanding about it and insisted that I look good all the time. And I was the most whenever I was the most depressed and I looked really good, like, there was a time where I was just like, going through some bullshit, and I looked amazing because I didn't do anything. All I did was sleep and listen to music, but I was like I was half dead, because I was like, you know, doing like stuff to ensure that I would be half dead and just fading out of existence. Like, it was bad. And, you know, the next day everyone would roll through and be like, wow, you look amazing. And I'm like, well, you know, depression and this other thing will do that to you. You know, like, I didn't say what it was, because, you know, I don't want to trigger anybody, but for real, that's what it was. And like, the self-harm and the internalization is emblematic of how women are, like, you know, like, blamed if they're not something, you know. They're like, hey, you're doing this, like, You are the problem, actually. You are the problem. Fix yourself. You are an issue. And I'm like, No, the fuck I'm not.
I know. It's like, I'm sick of being considered always the, always like, it's, oh, it must be something I'm doing, you know? It's
and like, then other women will be the ones to say that about you, too, because they want to appear. I'm like, you don't have to be a pick-me girl for other women, stupid. Like, don't do that. Don't be a, don't be, that's what, I didn't even know what a pick-me girl was. And somebody told me, and I'm like, oh, like, people do that. I never try to take down other women to, like, bring myself up. Like,
no.
I would never want to do that. And also, it doesn't inherently help anybody to do that. I always try to say nice things about women because, like, I understand the struggle. And when it comes to men, if they're, like, good people, and I know that they're good people, I try to be fair about that, too. But definitely, a lot of men are shitty. Like,
I know, it's like, I mean, I know a lot of good ones, so it's like, it makes me, feel bad when I generalize about them, but, like...
Well, see, that's the thing, go on.
Whenever I'm generalizing, I have to, like, remind myself, I'm just talking about a specific type of man right now.
Yeah, exactly, because that's how I feel, too, honestly. I have to check myself all the time, but I also have to make sure that I'm not, like, just, being like moony-eyed, you know, because sometimes you can just be moony-eyed over one guy or one this or one that, and like that's not the case, because like I've met a lot of people at this point in my life, and like even when I'm setting quote-unquote setting boundaries, because everybody likes to talk about like boundaries this, boundaries that, everybody has a different definition of boundaries, right?
Yeah.
So like you have to figure out communicatively what boundaries are and how to respect them and how to, you know, move forth. But sometimes boundaries are kind of the excuse that people use to gatekeep, you know? They're not actual real boundaries. They're just gatekeeping. It's like they're borders rather than boundaries. And like, you can't cross this border, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, this is a boundary. Actually, it's like gaslight, gatekeep, girl boss kind of bullshit. And I'm like, a guy definitely made up that mantra. Like,
I'm sure.
You know? Yeah. You know, it's like makeup companies that are all run by men. Like, you know, I'm like, definitely responsible for this bullshit, because women don't actually do this when they're feeling okay. They don't fuck over other women unless there's a man involved.
I know, it's like it's just it's like some weird competitive thing. It's just and it's like, what are you competing for?
Yeah, so that's the thing, the competitive vibe is because the woman is threatened, right?
Yeah.
And if I'm in an environment where women are feeling threatened, then I'm going to feel some type of way, and then I'm going to act out too, like in that same way that they're behaving, because fucking we're a product of our environments and we're social creatures, and that's what happens, you know? Yeah. So I don't know, dude, I'm glad I'm graduating. I am happy that like I made it this far and that I've tried my best to like do as much integration of knowledge into my art and into my like life as possible.
Yeah,
but this was a subpar experience, and I don't want to tank them on Yelp, but I will. No, I'm just
oh yeah, I mean I did leave a kind of a negative review of the hospital I was at on Google. I don't know if anybody will see it, but
no everyone one. The anything about companies or any like they can all scrub that shit, you know? I remember when Chancellor Katahi was at UC Davis, she was the chancellor, and apparently, somebody just told me this last night. I had no idea about this. Latore, who is the president of this school that I'm at now, she was complicit in hiding and scrubbing off the internet the pepper spray incident. And I was like, I was on campus that day. Are you kidding me? I could have gotten pepper sprayed. This is some bullshit. You know, like she scrubbed that off the internet. And this De La Torre was the one who was like responsible for that shit. That's some bullshit. Like, I was so upset. And I was like, I can't believe, if I had known all this, I wouldn't have gone to this school. Like,
oh, that's horrible. Like,
yeah, what the fuck? I had no idea, first of all. And secondly, I was like, if I had known all of this nonsense was occurring, I probably would have opted out because gross. Like,
I know. What was the pepper spray thing again? That sounds familiar.
Okay, so this was during the Occupy Wall Street movement. And a bunch of kids were, you know, they were kids, right? They were like 17, 18 year old, like, you know, like undergrads. And they were just sitting on the quad, just sitting there, you know? It wasn't like a Berkeley protest. Berkeley protests get wild. This was a Davis protest. And they were just sitting there, okay? And a bunch of, like, the president, Katehi, ordered a bunch of SWAT people to come on the campus, and they pepper sprayed them in the face, dude. Like,
oh my God.
Line by line, pepper sprayed them in the face. Yeah. Yeah.
Unnecessary. Yeah.
No, it caused so many health problems for them. Some of them are still dealing with them to this day, and it caused so much shit. Yeah, dude, it was wild. It was wild. And they're like, whoa, you can't do that. It got international news.
It was
international news. And that's how people even knew UC Davis existed internationally. Because they're like, oh, I didn't know there was another UC besides Berkeley.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And it was so fucked up. I was like, oh, my God. And then she proceeded to scrub it off the internet later.
Oh, that's so 1984. Oh, my God.
Ooh. Oh, my gosh.
Berkeley. I know that Berkeley has quite the reputation for protests. When I was at a hospital there, actually, I was assuming there might be some kind of riots in the street or something, but there wasn't, because I guess there wasn't anything going on when I was there. But I remember my grandpa used to call people who went to Berkeley frantic Berkeleyites, because he would always like assume that they were like about to be frantic and rioting over something. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, they call it berserkly. I called it derply because I'm like, this is a little bit annoying, because that energy was there, where like people were very like, you know, like free speech this and blah 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 that, but it didn't exactly fit the town. There are a lot of people there who own businesses who are also like federal agents, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? You're all ops? You guys are all opsing around? This is some bullshit.
That's weird.
No, it makes a lot of sense if you think about it, because if there's a bunch of people who are protesting and stuff in the town and this and that, of course there's going to be ops.
That does make sense.
And most of the, like, all of it feels like a corrupt-ass system, and I'm like, see, this is why. This is why my friends who went there got, like, eating disorders and fucking anxiety attacks after they graduated. Yeah, dude. I actually went there, my best friend growing up, shout out to Asia Lupina. She was my best friend growing up, and she went to Berkeley, and I went to her graduation, actually. I went to her Berkeley graduation. I was there. My brother took me, and I was really happy he did, because that was my childhood best friend. And, like, she didn't like it. She was like, I didn't like it. And dude, she came out of there, I don't know, sick. And I was like, what the fuck happened, man? So that's why, honestly, that's not why I went to Berkeley, but I was curious, you know? I was like, what the fuck happened to you, man? What happened to you there that this occurred? And, you know, it's because, like, when you have a lot of eyes on you and people, like, following you and, like, trying to jack your stuff and, like, you know, like, it was a very anxiety inducing situation for her, and it was really fucked up. So
that's sad.
Aww. Yeah, and then I briefly I don't want to say dated, because like I don't think we were ever dating really. I was briefly like talking to this guy who had graduated from there, and I think they were like neighbors. Him and my best friend were neighbors when they went to Berkeley, and he was like also not a he also had a lot of issues. And I'm like, okay, well, you're the first brown guy I've ever dated. Like, I was not doing that. But then also, I died, you know? Like, nobody can say I didn't try. And I tried. And you suck, too, because you have a lot of mommy issues. And he kept saying things like, whenever I would say stuff, he's like, wow, that's actually smart. And I'm like, what the fuck do you mean? Actually.
So surprising. Okay.
Actually, so surprising. I got that a lot when I was an English fellow too in the department in the university that I'm at right now. Like, they would be like, that's actually a good idea. And I was like, the fuck you mean? Are you going to take credit for my idea now and then not give me credit and then use it and then jump over me? Yeah, that was everybody.
That's some bullshit. Like, oh, that's good for a girl. That, you know, the.
It's so classic. It's classic. It's so classic. Like, you know, like, I'll say something, somebody says something else, and then said the exact same thing, and they're like, yeah, that's a good idea, because a guy said it, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? I just said that!
That's horrible. I know, it's like you're completely invisible or something. Yeah.
Well, it is, right? It's like, I get a mouthpiece that's a dude? What the fuck is this? Like,
that's like, not right. Yeah.
I'm like, this is why everyone wants to, like, you know how there's a lot of transgender hate? I'm like, I get the inclination because people don't feel safe as women, so they want to be men so that they can be treated properly. Do you understand?
That's actually the reason for some of them.
I've been listening to the J.K. Rowling podcast because it's called The Witch Trials. she definitely called it The Witch Trials, dude. And she keeps getting labeled as a TERF, right? And I'm like, it's probably trauma-informed. Like, if she is being a hater, it's probably because she's, like, you know, projecting her hate of, like, and trauma from men onto a marginalized group, and she doesn't understand what's going on because she's been kind of removed from the, you know, public for a while because, you know, she was, like, a famous person now. how dare they take down J.K. Rowling? She literally wrote a book about a boy coming out of a closet. Let's be real, like, that happened, and then she said Dumbledore was gay at a time when that was unacceptable, you know, after she published everything. And there are, if you were to cherry pick all the shit she says and try to pick out transgender stuff that is, like, not good, probably you will get a bunch of stuff, because nobody is completely unbiased. Everybody has biases.
In psychology, I had to take a quiz to see if I had any unconscious biases, and I was depressed at, like, the ones that show up. It's like, what? I didn't do this. It was horrible.
People have implicit biases based on their experiences, and that's okay. Everybody has that, you know? But what's not okay is excusing some people and then hyper-focusing on others.
Why the fuck is
Louis C.K. back on? Yeah, it is because she's successful. It's because she's a woman who made a Forbes list, and then she gave her money away to get off the Forbes list. She's like, I don't want to be on this list with a bunch of these, like, disgusting men. Let me get the fuck out of here.
I don't blame her.
And, like, obviously, like, I'm not, like, you know, in any way, you know, I'm always all inclusive, so it's not like I agree with, like, her opinion on these things, but it's just a fucking opinion of one person. Yeah. Why is everyone hyper-focused on this one opinion of one person? Like, that's stupid.
I know, I thought that was kind of weird how people just, you know, they loved her so much before and they suddenly just are, like, villainizing her.
That's the funny thing about moral outrage and public opinion, right? It can shift very quickly.
Yeah.
So if you don't know who you are on the inside of your heart of hearts, and you don't know that you're actually who you are, then anybody can just say some shit about you and then the narrative can be shaped about you.
Yeah.
You know? That's fucked up.
It's really scary.
Yeah, it is. It's really fucked up. And it happens to women all the time. And men, it either never happens to them, or they get away with it, or their reputation is untarnished, or people forgive them, or they excuse their behavior because they're men.
Yeah.
That happens. And it continues to happen. And it keeps happening. And I'm like, no. You're not going to do this to me. I don't want to get ratioed. I don't want to get canceled. I don't know what the fuck you guys are doing. But don't fucking do that. Bad American society.
Yeah, it's like the book I'm writing right now, it's like I write, like, a little bit about some of the stuff that went on in the 90s, and it's like, it's kind of depressing about, like, how similar, you know, things are and how they haven't changed, you know?
Well, Clinton was president in the 90s, right?
Yeah, and it's like he did pass some acts that, like, helped women and stuff. Not really, you know? Like, yeah, he's kind of a jerk, yeah.
Clinton was one of those people who I feel bad for Hillary. I feel so bad for her because, okay, yeah, she's problematic in some ways to a lot of people, but, like, everyone's like, give Trump a shot. I'm like, no, okay? A qualified white woman shot.
We had some political hours in high school. And some of the political hours that I got were, like, making calls for her campaign, like, seeing if people were going to vote for her and stuff. It was
really for Hillary. Yeah. For Hillary?
Yeah.
I did it for Obama. Mine was Obama call centering. Because I had a push in high school. Also, we have, like, 2 minutes left, so we're going to wrap it up.
Okay.
But this was a really good Sick Sad World episode.
It was. Because... we touched upon some very sick and sad things.
I hope you're feeling better, and I hope that we do one last episode together and we can talk about the latest LDR album, Lana Del Rey.
Oh, yes. I need to listen to that.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Awesome. Because I'm doing two things for my very last class. I'm going to write a big-ass essay so I can submit that to my PhD applications this next round, because I had asked for letters of recommendation and they were sent in like weeks after my application had been submitted. Even though I asked 2 months beforehand and they still got submitted super late.
Oh my gosh.
It's whatever, dude. These things happen. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal, but I'm not going to make it into a big deal.
It's like, it's not surprising that people are inept though. Yeah.
Well, I think it's also just people play favorites. I think favoritism is a huge, huge part of it. And also just like egos and people's nonsense. So wait, this might cut off at second 60, so or minute 60. Oh no, okay. It keeps going. Okay, all right, cool, nice. Maybe because it's like a joint, effort.
Oh, maybe
a joint. Yeah, it could be that. Yeah, but where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. So we'll listen to the LDR album, and then I'll integrate some of the essays that I've read for class into the into my review. And
that
then
sounds good.
Yeah, we'll have fun. We'll have fun with it, and that'll be the last episode. It'll be episode 69.
Okay. Cool. Sounds good.
Yes, I'm so excited to do that with you. Okay, awesome. All right, G, take care of yourself today. Have a good day, and cozy up next to a window and have some tea and read a book, because it sounds beautiful in Wisconsin today.
Yes, it is very cozy and nice. Cool, have a good day too.
Perfect. All right, peace out, Square High.
Bye. We're not joking, just joking, we are joking.